Praise God. So today, I wanted to minister something in line with the heart of God, especially given the season that we are in. We believe we're in a very, very special season and a time for the Church of Jesus Christ. And it's important that our hearts are aligned right to experience this move of God. It's important. And today, the Lord laid this upon my heart, and I felt I should minister in line with the season that we're in, which is very important and intricate that way. I believe there's a lot happening in the realm of the Spirit. If you are conscious, you know it. Praise the Lord. I believe this is one of the most important times for the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of which we are part. Somebody give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. And so it's important that our hearts are aligned right. So I'll open a portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 1 verse 1. Jesus made a very powerful statement, and he said, "We are in the world but not of the world." That's a it's something that if you take time to ponder, you realize, you know, it takes a certain power to realize that you live in a physical world, but you're not of this world. It's a very powerful thought. That means your source is not from this world. That means where you come from, you're not from here. In regard, if you are doing movies, you're an alien. Praise the Lord. You're an alien. Some of you have watched those movies. When aliens come to the earth, the laws are different for them. You are like that. Aliens don't have certain human sicknesses. Praise the Lord. They don't fit in certain buildings. Praise the Lord. Their conditions are different because they come from another world. Many of you have watched the movies, and the movies have tried to paint a picture that only Christ, are you getting me, can reveal. So in Matthew 1:1, Matthew writes this line, and it becomes the starting place of what I want to share this day. He says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ," Jesus Christ, Jesus, the man in the flesh, but Christ, the anointed one. And he says, this man's genealogy, who is Jesus Christ? Number one, he calls him, he comes from the son of David and the son of Abraham. Give it to me in the Amplified Version. The son of David. I want you to study the order. The son of David and the son of Abraham. The book of the ancestry, the genealogy, underline that word, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the son descendant of David, and the son descendant of Abraham. That means Jesus Christ is the offspring of David and the offspring of Abraham. But the Bible is not clearly telling us to look at these men in the flesh, because these men represent spiritual identities. David is representative of the man after God's own heart. And Abraham is a representative of the father of faith. That means Abraham, if you wanted to study the pattern of faith, you can study Abraham and understand faith. Did you realize that? How God releases faith to his own, those that he has called. That means when God was dealing with Abraham, the first line is he told him, "Leave thy country." That means I want you to get out of familiar places. Get out of your kind of people. And go to the land I will show you. That means my blessing is not in familiar places. That means God is introducing faith to a man. So if you wanted to study faith, you have to study Abraham. The Bible calls him the father of many, the father of faith. Who is our father? However, when it comes to David, one of the most detailed or specific things concerning David is a man after God's own heart. That's according to 1 Samuel 13:14. And the Bible says, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." The prophet Samuel was speaking to Saul, because Saul had lost his kingdom. And he tells him, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart." That means David is a man sought after God, because David was after the heart of God. and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people. Now that gives you a clue of how God puts people under certain men. That means God, to entrust people under you, you have to carry his heart. Because God's heart is toward his people. God cannot entrust you with people if your heart is not given to him. Because if that happens, you'll destroy much. So you realize that God's pattern is that I will only put people under this man. Why? Because his heart is after me. That's a secret for a businessman. That's a secret for a minister. That's a secret for a leader. That means God will only place people under you if you're after his heart. And it's important because that's important for us, the church, because the church is the light of the world. It's important for the church of Jesus Christ to understand these. Now, listen, he says, give it to me in the Amplified. It says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out David, a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince and ruler over his people. He has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So Saul's problem, why he lost the kingdom, is that he did not keep what the Lord had commanded him through prophet Samuel. That you can read in 1 Samuel 10:8. 1 Samuel 10:8. Samuel gives an instruction. Who is the prophet? And he was the voice of God in that dispensation. He tells Saul, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. That means Saul had to wait for 7 days. He had to wait. He had to tarry till I come. And I, Samuel, the prophet of God, shall offer burnt offerings and then tell you what to do. Now go to 1 Samuel 13:8. Now I want to show you, that's the instruction. That means I want you to follow me, because if you don't understand this, you may miss a lot. It's important you get me. That means one of the instructions Saul had been given as the king of Israel. Remember, Saul was the choice of men, given his stature. He was a tall man. The Bible tells us he was head and shoulders above everyone in Israel. That means he was the tallest man in Israel. Therefore, he was king according to the eyes of men. But then the prophet gives him an instruction. It's important you get this. So this man looked kingly by appearance, and the prophet gives him an instruction. Now in verse 8, the Bible says, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Next line. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me. Now Saul has taken over. He's like, now people are starting to scatter. They're starting to leave me. You bring the burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. That means he offered what the prophet should have done himself. That means the instruction from the Lord was that the prophet is the one to offer the burnt offerings. But as this man cannot wait on an instruction given, he told the people, you bring the offering, I'm going to do it myself. This is a very sad story. I want you to open your eyes. And the Bible says, and it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, that means as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. That means as soon as he has just finished doing what he wanted to do in his own strength and power, the prophet of God appeared. That means had Saul waited a little bit longer, the prophet would have come and offered the offering and then told him what to do. Now listen. So Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him and that he might salute him. And Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattered from me. Now listen, Saul is giving his account to the prophet why he did this. He says, I saw that the people were scattered from me and that thou camest not within the days appointed and that the Philistine gathered themselves together at Mishmash. Next line. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced, listen to the guy's language. He said, I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. I forced myself based on what I was seeing around me. I went against the instruction of the Lord. I forced myself and offered the burnt offering of myself. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. Listen to what a man lost. A man lost his kingdom, reigning over Israel forever. That means, even though Saul was man's choice, he had the opportunity to have his kingdom reign over Israel all the days of his life. But listen, he took for granted the instruction from the prophet and lost a kingdom. Now in verse 14, because that you have done that, he says, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. Are you seeing the judgment that has come to a man? Now we are not talking about cars, we're talking about kingdoms. That means a man lost a kingdom, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. That means Saul's problem was the heart. God was testing a heart, whether he could trust this man with a kingdom. And let me tell you, some of the things that disqualify men are such things. A man lost a kingdom because he trusted self. I told people in the first service, let me tell you, our biggest problem in the body of Christ is not the devil. Because the devil has been defeated. The Bible says the prince of this world has been defeated. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The biggest problem of the church is self, dealing with yourself. So there's a man, God is about to entrust his kingdom to reign forever. And he could not hold on to an instruction. He couldn't wait, tarry, just for a little while, and God would allow his kingdom to reign forever. So he offers the sacrifice by his own accord against the instruction of God through the prophet. Do you get me? Now I want to show you David also. Did you know that also David also offered an offering? Now I want to show you the difference between the two. In 1 Samuel 24:18, there was a season where an angel of the Lord struck a plague upon the children of Israel. In 2 Samuel 24:16, the Bible says, and when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is not enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arauna the Jebusite. Next line. Now, look at David. David realizes that an angel has struck the people with a plague. And now David speaks to God. He says, and David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people. And he said, lo, I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But this sheep, what have they done? That means, listen, it's the problem is on me, but what have these people done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. That means, look at this man. This man is like as though he entered the place of Christ and he says, let the thing be put on me. Look at this man. That means, let this whole issue be on me. Look at a man trying to act like Jesus. Are you hearing me? The man carried the very heart of God for the sheep of the Lord. He said, no, wait. Let this sin be counted upon me and my house. I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. That means he's saying my father's house. That means my lineage. I don't know whether somebody is getting it. Remember, Jesus Christ is after the genealogy. Are you getting me? He's after the genealogy of David and Abraham. He says, let this thing be upon me. The man is literally painting a picture of the sacrificial place of Christ. This guy was, David was deadly. He was, listen, the man is literally saying, I can get into that place. let this wickedness and this sin be upon me. Now, look at God's reaction immediately. David did this. Next line. And God came that day to David. God was now the prophet. He said and said to him, go up and rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. Next line. And David, according to thy saying of God. Listen. And David, according to the saying of God, who was the prophet, went up as the Lord commanded. That means now David is offering a sacrifice by the commandment of the Lord. Look at verse 25. Verse 25. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land. Give it to me in the Amplified Version. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers of the land. Listen. And Israel's plague was stayed. That means the plague that was upon Israel was removed. Now listen, two kings offer offerings and the results are different. One loses a kingdom, the other one, the land is saved. I know some people haven't yet got it, but I'm getting there. That means two believers can do the same thing and produce different results because of their heart. One believer is doing the same action based on the heart of God. Another one is doing it against the instruction of the Lord. But they have both done the same thing. They have both offered. They both pray. They both serve. But the results are totally different. Why? Because their hearts are not the same. And I was talking with the pastors earlier after the first service. And this, let me tell you, the heart is the reason why people are at different levels. Because God gives to every man according to the ways of their heart. That means every man is where they are because of their heart. Not because of that demon. Not because of that family problem. Not because of your education. Not because of your nationality. But because of your heart. For the Bible says, according to NLT, it says the human heart above all things is desperately wicked. That means humanity by nature is wicked. Did you know that? He says the human heart is the most deceit of all things. That means if you wanted to understand deception, get into a human heart. And the Bible says is desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? So when you're a believer, that's why things like tribalism, those things should never appear in the body of Christ. Because by nature, they are wicked. You see two people and they call themselves believers and attack each other based on tribal sentiments. It's a problem. You're not yet born again. You don't fully understand what Christ did. And this is something all of us have to listen. You have to get the mirror and weigh yourself. Some of you see yourselves as those belonging to a certain tribe more than being children of God. You know, you are more tribal than a child. It can even be seen in the way you act, the way you live, the way you relate. When you're born again, a person should be confused which tribe your body comes from. Hey, Salimatapa. Where do you come from? You tell a guy Zion. Where is, how do you get to Zion? Let me tell you something. When I got understanders, I am not a tribal person. I can appreciate them, but I have no inclination at all. My interests are for the body of Christ. I'm not at the level of this one, this guy is white, this guy is black. That's a low level in Christ. The Bible says in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's no division. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's why I tell you, listen, righteousness is the hope for nations. Because righteousness is what exalts a nation. Righteousness is what exalts a nation. And we have believed God to see Uganda first world according to the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. if you study the patterns of the world, this world's only hope is the gospel. Everything has failed. Race has failed. Tribalism has failed. Everything. Education is not the solution. It can be one of, but it is not the solution. God is. And I thank God for men of God like our man, Apostle Grace Lubega, who have pioneered a move of God. For in Fanero here, you don't see any inclination, tribal, national. You listen, we are one. It's clear. We don't have any sentiments. No. We are one in Christ Jesus. Somebody give the Lord a big, big hand clap of praise. A lot of parents, when it comes to marriage, as long as he's a man of God, he's going to look after your daughter. Are you getting me? Don't waste your time. Just speak in tongues and say, take my daughter. Praise God. That's for your prayer. Don't pray for a what? A something. Some of you pray like that. Not the heart of God. Are you getting me? For your children. Even your prayers are off. Your prayers, listen, give my daughter a man of God. Are you getting me? Father, I thank you that my daughter, when she's young, give my son a woman of God. That's all I'm interested. I'm not in two tribes, but that's the heart of God, because we have one tribe in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I know some people are not clapping. They're like, Pastor Zach. Hey. Praise the Lord. Jesus, if you wanted to understand this man after the genealogy of David, look at his nature. The Bible tells us in John 3, it says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. That means the nature of Jesus could not commit himself to men, naturally. Verse 25, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Give me amplified version. But Jesus, for his part, did not trust himself to them, but he knew all men, and he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning men, needed no evidence from anyone about men, for he himself knew what was in human nature. He could read men's hearts. That means Jesus would never commit himself to human nature. Your Lord and Savior cannot. You know something I learned with God? When the Bible says, trust in the Lord in all your ways and acknowledge him, that means even when it comes to men, I will trust them to the degree I trust God. That means, because in certain relationships, you have to trust. For example, you cannot be married to your wife and you don't trust her. It would be naturally wrong. The Bible says her husband's heart, he's talking about a virtuous woman, her husband's heart doth safely trust in her. That means you cannot marry a woman you don't trust. And Christ trusted us, the church. Do you get it? There are certain relationships that are pivotal. You have to trust. But we trust men firstly by trusting God first, because he will teach us how to deal with them. Are you learning something? It's important to understand that. But there are people who come to us, but you can't, but do you know what happened? I trusted him. You could see the problem was they gave themselves to a man. Are you getting me? But they never trusted God. So they have hit head-on collision. Are you getting me? Head-on. Because they trusted a man. The Bible says, cursed is him that trusteth in the arm of the flesh. That means the moment you trust, listen, we trust men because we trust God. We submit to men because we submitted unto God first. Are you seeing the pattern? That's it. And some of these things I'm saying are important for people here to believe. Because I can't be heartbroken. Unless God, can God break my heart? Alabasutamanda. Ilasuka. That's a new creation heart speaking. Are you getting me? Hey, the heart of God. Because my heart is in the Lord. If he can be heartbroken, then I can. Does that make sense? Many of the relationships, you can see why. Because the people trusted men. Even if your husband has a problem, trust God. You see the difference? You see the difference? Even concerning your children, trust the Lord. He's the one who gave them to you. That's how we look at them. They are blessings from God. So sometimes even to have a carnal care, there's a level of care. I've seen parents who are carnal towards their children. Their affection towards is carnal. They think they love them so much more than God does. They think. Yet listen, the children come from the Lord. You have to trust God concerning what is precious to you. You have to listen. You have to trust God concerning your spouse. You know, some people, their counseling starts from trusting God concerning. You have to trust God concerning your employees. I trust God. That's why for me, I can't fail. When you understand that, because God will show you. Even when a guy wants to play, someone wants to do something, God will warn you. Says, that guy is about to flip. Oh, you're like, thank you, Jesus. Are you getting me? By the time he comes, he told me, I was waiting for you. Am I helping? I feel I'm helping. This is counseling. I didn't plan to enter this area. It's hijacked my sermon. But I believe I'm helping someone. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, in I think 1 Samuel 16:7. When it comes to anointing the next king of Israel, the prophet Samuel goes to the sons of Jesse, and one of the sons appear in order, and the order came first from the first one, who is Eliab. But the Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not unto his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That means the way men look at outward appearance, the way men are wired. That's why some of you love those movie stars. Because they are 6'8", the guy has muscles, he's got a beard. You're like, oh my God, are you getting me? You even hear a sister in the Lord looking at a guy who is 6'8", like, oh my God, are you getting me? The ladies who are used in Hollywood, they are different. You have to be a certain shape. You have to look a certain way, because that's the nature of men. They look at the outward. So even Hollywood has to minister. Are you getting me? To your flesh. In my campus days, I believe I was one of the first people to watch this series, because I didn't know, I'd never heard about it. And I had gone to some guy's room to pick notes, because we had an exam the next day. And I entered this room, I found guys fixated on a series. It was called 24. I sat down for, you know, where the guy gives you the notes and you first sit down a bit. This was about 3 p.m. You know, where you're like, you even get the notes as you're looking at the screen. I sat. The movie was called 24. That means that movie has the, that series has the power to keep you, your eyes glued for 24 hours. And this was a man with a paper at 9 a.m. Was it 9 or 8 in campus? I sat there, I first watched the first hour. I said, oh my God, this thing. I said, only one more hour. I said, okay, this is the third hour. 8 p.m. Okay, the fourth, my God. Before I knew it, I was quiet. We went, midnight, 1. Before I knew it, it was 8 a.m. It was time for the paper. The notes were here, are you getting me? I said, how can a human being have power to capture my attention for that long? That means there's a problem in my flesh. There's something he's ministering to. So of course, I just told the guys, 24, and you know 24 is about being a ninja. I said, let's go for this mission. Are you getting me? The paper became a mission. I also went for that mission because I had seen the guy do so crazy. I also went for my mission in BA Economics. Are you getting me? I don't remember the marks I got in that paper. I don't want. But I want you to listen. I don't want you to lose the picture. How can a man have power over me for 24 and I can keep my eyes glued on him. Except there's something in me, because he's connecting to something in me, the flesh, that I didn't plan to watch it, but once my eyes saw it, I sat till morning. And many of you here, we have many victims in this room. Praise the Lord. Then I realized the Lord also had a plan. In Ezekiel 36 verse 24, he also had to do something. He says, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into our own land." Verse 25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean, and from all your filthiness and from all your idols," underline the word idols. That means God could clean you from all your idols. "Will I cleanse you?" That means also God had to do a work in you, because the old man, listen, moved according to the dictates of the flesh. That means whatever was availed to his senses captured him. So was I captured. By the way, by that time, I think I was born again. I'm not sure. I think I was. That means 24 ministered to my flesh. And I found myself seated for hours and hours without moving, effortlessly. Effort. You know, you sit and you just take in. Praise God. Verse 26. "Now the first thing he did, he had to give you a new heart." He says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I also put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart after," or "a heart of the flesh." Next line. "And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk." Are you getting me? That means as much as a man can be caused by the flesh, are you getting me, to be attracted by his sensuous nature, so did God also. Number one, he cleaned us. He gave us a new heart, and the Bible says he put his spirit in us that he might cause us. That means God also put his spirit in us that he could cause us to stay in the presence, to be attracted by the presence. That means you can be there and you start speaking in tongues for 4 hours effortlessly. Oh, are you getting me? Because of his spirit in you. That means you can sit there and meditate on the word of God for hours. Why? Because of his spirit is causing you to walk in his statutes. No wonder the psalmist said, "One thing I desire." I desire not many things. I desire one thing. One thing I desire. That thing I desire of the Lord is that I will seek, inquire for, and insistently require that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. When you understand the house of the Lord is a spirit. God is a... The house of the Lord is a presence. That means David's desire was to dwell in the presence of God all the days of his life. And a man in the flesh also came up with something to occupy a man for 24 hours. Listen, there are two worlds at war. The Bible says to behold and gaze upon his beauty. The sweet attractiveness and the delightful loveliness of the Lord, and to meditate, consider, and inquire in his temple. That means, actually, the presence attracts us. We don't work our way there. We are invited. Are you getting me? We don't work our way into the presence. We are invited into the presence of God. That means prayer is not a work. It's an invitation. Let me tell you, when you understand this thing, your prayer life and meditation will totally, because it's an invitation. And as you listen, you learn to rest and allow God to do it. You'll be amazed how long. There's a portion of scripture where Jesus fed 5,000. And after he feeds the 5,000, the Bible says at about evening, he sent everyone away. He sent them away. He sent the apostles. He told them, get on the ship and move. And then the Bible says at evening time, he went into the mountain to pray. Now, when you study scripture, the Bible tells us he went there at about 6 p.m. Why? Because 6 p.m. is the beginning of evening. And the Bible says he was there till the fourth watch of the night, which is 4 a.m. That means Jesus. Now, I want us to understand Jesus. Jesus, was he hungry? This is a man who could feed the world. Did he have a problem? But Jesus could be there, if you're there from 6 p.m. to 4 a.m., that means this man could be in the presence for 10 hours. Asking for a wife. Asking for a wife. Looking for bread. Praying for his children. What was he doing? Beholding. No wonder after 4 a.m., he says, where are these boys? Let me catch up with them. He began walking on water. Because, listen. You can't behold the glory of God for 10 hours and not become like it. That's why this generation, listen. That means, let me tell you something. I thank God for Apostle Grace. When I became very serious about the things of the Spirit, about 2008-09 there, and in my prayer, I would be speaking in tongues and I'd have these visions of being a part of a move. And when I looked at that move, I wasn't necessarily in the people. I was probably somewhere in the leadership, but I didn't know how it would be. And when I met Apostle Grace 2012, God told me, this is the man going to lead the move. Why? Listen. When the Bible says beholding the beauty of God, actually, when you study the word for beholding, the word there in Hebrew is also to prophesy. That means as you see God, you start prophesying. The more you see God, you start speaking. Are you getting me? You don't just gaze. You meditate. You see, you prophesy, you speak forth. You start seeing what God is going to do. And even when God brings such men, you'll know them. Because it's a kind. So when I met him, I realized this is the man. And listen, in our beginning days, he could hardly preach for 30, 40 minutes. The moment he preached 30, 40 minutes, the presence of God just hits the place. You could tell this is a man from the presence. Those are our beginning days. How some of his manifests were begun, like in Makere, he didn't start by preaching. He began by praying. They would pray until people start coming. Can you imagine? That means the presence can attract. Oh, that means there's a degree of prayer. Listen, there's a degree of the presence of God that can bring everything you need in your life. It attracts. Why? The Bible says, beholding the beauty of the Lord. The Bible says the sweet attractiveness. That means when you behold, you become. Eh? You become attractive. That means when you behold the sweet attractiveness, you become also. For the Bible says, as we behold, as in a mirror, the glory of God, we are metamorphosed into that very image from glory to glory. No wonder Jesus, many people miss this line. The Bible says how Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He went about doing good. When you study the word doing good, the word is Jesus, everywhere he went, he was bestowing benefits. Hey! Listen, if men were lacking, provision came. Are you getting me? The moment he appears, provision has come. If he goes in a place and men are down, he lifts them. Why? He was not just doing, he was the source of blessing. So as you are in the presence, you don't just behold, but you also become. If God is glorious, you become the glory of God. Are you getting me? If he's powerful, you become power. Now, can you imagine what natural fact that can compare to what? Let me tell you, that's why some of us, when we understood the presence, we could only follow after. In this ministry, we'll do everything. You notice, Fanero, sometimes we look like we are so... Listen, that's the recommendation of the scripture. The Bible says, he says, submit yourselves to such men like Stephanas, who is from the house of Achaias. The Bible says he gives us the pattern. Who is addicted to the ministry of the saints? That means for you to be addicted to the ministry of the saints, you firstly have to be addicted to the ministry of the Lord. Hey, that means a man who is addicted Thursday, Sunday, and everything for year in, year out, COVID or no COVID, are you getting me? Has to be addicted to God. But did you realize that in COVID you had service every Thursday and Sunday? God had to do it because of an addicted man. Let that be the same. Are you getting me? Let me tell you, because God is reliable. Because when you encounter the Lord, you become imbued with power and strength. Let me tell you, there's nothing in the world that can destroy such a move. It doesn't exist. There's no atomic bomb. Did you realize that? Because this is the power of the gospel. And today I feel the Lord urging us, some of people here, to align our hearts to the very heart of God. I feel God doing something. Let me tell you, you see people and you see that they're not stuck because they don't pray or they don't do this or the other thing, but you realize that their heart is out of line. Not because of anything, because when you understand these laws, for the Bible says a carnal mind is enmity towards God. Why? Because it's not subject to the law of God. That means there are certain laws that are supposed to naturally work in your life. Are you getting me? That means we are not stuck because God cannot do it. We are stuck because our hearts are not in line with what God wants to do. Because God has already done it. Your healing has already been provided. Your provision has already been provided. Your husband exists. Hey! He says, for none shall lack her met, for the spirit has gathered. That means the man is ready. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it starts getting me to the place of asking God, today as the body of Christ, are our hearts fully aligned to what God has provided in Christ Jesus? For the Bible says, he shall put away the stony heart. He shall give you a heart of flesh, a heart that is responsive to the things of the Spirit. A heart that loves the presence of God. You see, the beauty with David was that this man was never comfortable until the presence of God was, he said, when the Lord had delivered David from all his enemies, when he had put all his enemies to rest, that means David lived in a season where he had no problem. He had no enemy. Round about, David had no enemy. God had delivered him from all his enemies. But the man is in his palace and he says, how can the presence of God be in curtains? That means David's heart, a man after, was to ensure that the presence of God had a tabernacle. And God said, hey, wait a minute. Because you have so much blood upon your hands, you shall not build the tabernacle. But whatever is in thy heart shall be done. So he says, the seed after you shall be. That means even the man that was responsible for building the temple had to be David's seed. When you understand this, you start knowing how to pray for your children. Because your heart is after God. Do you realize that some of us, because our parents served God, we're walking in the blessing? Because their hearts, some of your parents or grandparents were not very rich, but their hearts were for God. And today God has blessed you mightily, even in substance. Not because you pray, but because you had a grandfather who used to pray. You had my mother prays every day for me, I know it. So even when I'm relaxing, a woman is praying. So the question today that I want us to put before us before we pray. When the psalmist said, my heart panteth after you. My heart panteth after you. What is it in a believer that does not pant after God? He says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee. Praise God. How can you be a born again and your heart is not after souls? For the Bible says, he that wins souls is wise. That means when you're a believer, your heart is after souls. Somebody give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. The Bible says, I will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. That means the will of God is that all men are saved. That means when you're a believer, it is important that your heart is after souls. Let me tell you, how can you live and your heart is not after souls? That means your heart is not into the kingdom. Your heart is not into the expansion of the kingdom of God. Your heart I remember before many of us even understood the anointing and understood being ministers. You can ask my wife, she knew me. I used to lead evangelism classes. After service, I would go and lead people to Christ and teach people how to win souls. Not conscious about ministry. I was just doing it because it was wonderful to see a soul saved. And before I knew it, I am who I am. I never had plans to be a man of God or pastor. The moment you receive salvation, you desire that other people experience. And let me tell you, that's how God anoints men. Because there are some people lusting to be pastors or apostles or prophets, but their hearts are off. There are things we did not knowing. I remember one time I went with orphan kids to a certain camp. Now me and, if you knew me who I was in the flesh, and orphan kids alone, I went with kids who are annoying, they're irritating. I was in a hole, everyone is calling you uncle. But you feel the Lord has touched your heart to go and minister to orphans. So I remember I slept. I will never forget, in a camp for orphans. And I slept with them in the dormitory. Ah, me! And I remember I said, which child doesn't wet their bed? That one should sleep on top of me. But I didn't know all that time God was preparing my heart. I had no clue. That some of the things you're doing from your heart, God is actually preparing, He's testing, He wants to give. Some of you, by the slightest instructions, God is actually testing your heart, if He can trust you. Simple things. I don't know any man that's anointed who has not gone through this stuff. I don't know them, because they can't have the stability. I remember one time I go City Square, not under this, under another ministry. I went to preach Jesus to this Muslim. The guy pulled out his knife and said, I'll kill you. I looked at him like this and I said, God loves you, as I'm walking back. But at least I did. That means I could dare. I remember I went to a woman, some Buganda Road flats. There were Asian women, and you don't speak to them when their husbands are not around. I learned that. But I remember going to some lady, I knock, and she says, go away. My husband is not here. I said, Jesus loves you, I shouted, are you getting me? But you see, in all that, we are doing it and no one is watching. But God is, God is positioning. Let me tell you something. It doesn't take anything for God to anoint you. It doesn't take anything for God to lift you. He just has to prove your heart. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much for your faith to work, because faith worketh by love. I went to hospitals to give them quencher and biscuits when I didn't have a healing anointing. First. Until one day I understood how much God loved people. And I remember the first time I went to a hospital, I said, God, you love these people too much that they'll get off their beds. That's the first time I saw people get off their beds supernaturally. There is a time, I think I was with a young man called Jonas. He can testify. We went to a clinic, a hospital ward, and started laying hands on people, and people started getting off, and people, patients started putting up their hands, come here, like, teacher me, you know that thing? I said, what is this? I remember one time we were moving with a lady, and we're doing this hospital ministry. These things we did, and we still do. A pastor, she's a pastor in another ministry, she was with me and another lady. She saw God heal a patient with a heart problem. They stood up. The girl cried. Today she's a pastor in another ministry, but she saw it. Now, it doesn't take the anointing, it takes the heart. Some people are broke because of their heart. For God gives you according to the ways of your heart, not how hard you work. No. Some people are stuck because of their heart. That's why the Bible says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. That means it's ardent for all of us believers to examine our hearts. The Bible says, with all diligence, guard your heart, for out of your heart flow all the issues of life. That means every man is where they are because of their heart. That means as God continues to align your heart, listen, your level can move. Your level can increase. God can give you more. And so we are in a time where it's important that as this move, we are experiencing a move, it's important that our hearts are aligned right. Because as long as your heart is aligned, right, there's a move of God in our time. It's undeniable. It's undeniable. You have to be so blind not to see it. I believe we are praying in this season because God is preparing our hearts for something so big. And therefore, in 2 Corinthians 5, the Bible talks about how the love of God, Christ compels us. It impels us that if one man died, therefore all men died. If one man died, therefore all men died. And it says, now they which live no longer live unto themselves, but live unto him. That means when you became born again, you no longer live for self, but you live now unto God. Your life is not yours, it's his. That means your going in is his, your coming out is his, your giving is his, your prayer is his, oh, your work is his. That's the heart. That means you don't own yourself, you are his. When you understand, that's the concept of the kingdom, because we are all subjects of the king. That means our glory is subject to the king. Our protection is of the king. Our provisions are of the king. That's why you hear them say, hail the king. The more you praise him, the more his welfare comes towards you. You realize that? That means any man can only be stuck because of their heart. And today God is aligning our hearts. And as the Lord aligns our hearts, listen, he wants to cast his vision upon us that we may be able to behold him. Because as we behold him, we are changed from glory to glory. The power of beholding is that you become what you see. Like a man could sit down and watch 24. A man can sit down and behold God for 24 hours. I want to see that man. I believe in our time and season, the quiet places in our lives are going to be places that attract us. I believe God is going to start drawing men to his secret. As in, God is going to, because let me tell you, the secret things belong to God. That means it takes God drawing a man to that place. And I believe the Spirit of God is, listen, available to allow us to see that today. I believe in this dispensation, God is lifting men. I believe in this dispensation, God has lifted the church, exalted. For the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Uganda's future is in the hands of the church. Africa's future is in the hands of the church. And this understanding is important. I want us to get up and just pray for just a few minutes. And as we pray, we're going to examine. It's important that we examine our hearts. Wherever you are, it's important. Because I believe we are about to see what eye has not seen, what ear hasn't heard, what has not entered the hearts of men, but those things that God has prepared for us who love him. Those things the Lord has made ready. I believe we're going to look more within than without, because the Bible says nothing can defile a man from without, but that which cometh from him, that which cometh from your heart. That means nothing from outside your circumstances can defile you. Nothing out without can stop you. Nothing, let me tell you, there is no demon that can stop your progress. There is nothing. There is no situation that can stop you. There is no affliction, even in your body, that can stop the destiny of God concerning your life. But what's important is that we are supposed to look within. Manda Bakusa. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Bible says he has given us a heart of flesh. That means now we have a heart that's responsive. Listen, they put an ark, the presence of God, in the house of a man, and the whole house prospered. The presence now is not in a physical place. No, the presence of God now is in us. The presence of God now dwells in us. That means you can manifest the presence of God everywhere you go. As you continue beholding, that means God is aligning our hearts to him right now. He's aligning our eyes to him. He told Abraham, as far as you can see, I pray by the Spirit of God that God opens your eyes this morning. That affliction, my God, is a big lie. That mountain is leveled in the mighty name of Jesus. Open your eyes and see. That mountain is leveled in the mighty name of Jesus. That situation is temporary, for the Bible says that which is seen is temporary. The power of God is in this place. That which is seen is temporary, but that which is not seen is eternal. Oh, we see that which is eternal. Oh, we see our future. Oh, Rabasate Kabarasata. Ela Mande Kabadosa. Ilara. Somebody open your heart to God. Ela Basoti Kabadaba. Somebody see by the Spirit of God. See by the Word of God. Listen, some of you are going to start moving extraordinary faith. Extraordinary faith. For the Bible says, faith cometh. Faith is going to come to you by hearing and hearing. Faith comes to you right now. Some of you are going to be in your secret places and realize you're so anointed. Realize you're so powerful. Realize you're so wealthy. Why? Because of His presence. As you sit before Him in the Word, as you sit before Him in the presence, some are going to realize that you're not a normal man. Oh, Jesus. Child of God, by the eyes of God, you're not human. Oh, you're a life-giving spirit. You better see it. The Bible says He has given you a heart of flesh. The Bible says that you are a new creature created in Christ Jesus. It says all things have passed away. He has changed your genes. You're not after the genes of Jesus Christ. Somebody speak in tongues for a minute. Oh, he says, behold, I do a new thing. Forget the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. Shall it not spring forth? Oh, shall you not see it? Alabasati kabara. Erande basate kabala. Oh, rakabadese. Shalimande rebosaya. Erakabadese. Te kabaria rabasata. Ere kabara basate kabara. Elamante kabali elebasata. Elebasati. You are a product of the new birth, a product of the regeneration. That means God changed your genes. You have the genes of God. Oh, because of your genealogy, because of Christ, you are delivered from all enemies. You are delivered from all man of affliction. Oh, now God wants you to serve Him. Somebody just continue speaking in tongues for just a minute. Just a minute, just a minute, just a minute.
You are fairer, much fairer than the lily by the Lord by the wayside.
You are precious, most precious than gold.
Sweetest Jesus, sweet Jesus, God of
Father, I thank You for this day, that by the power that comes by Your word, many of us have seen that our hearts, the Bible says the heart of a king is in the hands of the Lord. We think that our hearts are controlled by you. We move where you move us. We will what you have willed. We do as we see you. Father, I thank you this day that by the power of the Holy Ghost and by the casting of vision that comes by the word of God, we may be conscious of you all the days of our lives. We may be conscious of you. We thank you, O God, that mountains melt before us. Oh, valleys are leveled before us. Crooked places are made straight before us. This year, I thank you for your power that heals the sick. I thank you for your total deliverance. I thank you that the power of the Holy Ghost is here. And for everybody that's watching all over the world, I declare them free from any manner of affliction, any manner of disease, anything that takes away their attention from the Lord. I declare that they are free in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, O God, that from this day forth, our eyes are stayed on thee. For you keep us in perfect peace, we whose eyes are stayed on you. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Right now we want to give an opportunity to those who want to receive Jesus Christ. The things I've been saying today concerning the heart. Your heart is firstly redefined at the new birth. If you're here and you want to receive Jesus Christ, please just speak these words after me. Say, Father, I thank you that you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sin and to be raised for my glory. This day, now, I am born again. I'm a child of God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am so blessed. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a big hand clap of praise.